story that we have in Acts chapter 3. And while you're doing so, can I just thank you for inviting me here this morning and my family. It's always encouraging to be invited back. We do feel part of the fellowship here. We've been coming here for a number of years now, and it's lovely to see so many faces that we know. So thank you. So if you have Acts chapter 3 open in front of you. The title of my sermon this morning, and I pray that it's God's sermon to us, is The Real Hope. The Real Hope. And I want to tell you about two stories this morning, and in some ways they're poles apart. But in one important way, they teach us the same important truth. The first story is the one that we have in our passage. The writer of this book of Acts is Luke the historian. And Luke tells us about a man who was lame, who is healed. Luke is a historian. We don't get too many facts, but we do get solid facts. You know, I personally would love to be able to talk to this man, just to ask him how he feels. In chapter 4 of Acts, we learn that the man was over 40 years old. He'd never been able to walk. And now he's able to walk, he stands, he even leaps, we read. He's made physically whole, just through a few words from Peter. It is a real wonder. It is a miracle. But we need to be very careful what we do with this miracle. Because on the one hand, we have the miracle performed through faith in the name of Jesus. And on the other hand, we have the world as we know it today. A world full of sufferers of all sorts of illnesses. A world where believing Christians live with illness and pain and death. People who have faith in the same Jesus. People such as Christian songwriter Stephen Curtis Chapman and his wife Mary Beth, who suffered a family tragedy in 2008. And this is the second story. They had three children of their own, a daughter and two sons, and had adopted three more girls from China. Maria was the third and youngest of these. In May of 2008, Maria, who was 5 years old, was knocked down on the driveway of their home when their 17-year-old son drove his car in. She had run out to see him. She'd heard the car coming. She ran out onto the driveway, but he didn't see her. It was a terrible accident. As Maria was rushed to hospital, the family and many friends and relatives were praying for recovery. They were praying to God in Jesus' name for a miracle. It didn't happen. They not only lost one child, but they had another carrying such a burden of guilt. And it's hard to imagine how you even begin to cope with such a tragedy. As they struggled through the days ahead, Mary Beth encouraged her husband Stephen to write down what he felt. She knew it was something that he'd always done as a songwriter. And so he did. For no other reason than just to start to express his emotions. A year and a half later, he published some of those words to music on a CD that is really painful to listen to. Let me just read a few of the lines of one of the songs on that CD. It was the day the world went wrong. I screamed till my voice was gone and watched through the tears as everything came crashing down. Slowly, panic turns to pain as we awake to what remains and sift through the ashes that are left behind. Painful words. And yet, it is also quite a remarkable collection of music for the message of hope that it contains. For the hope that they have as a couple and as a family. But where can hope possibly come from in such circumstances? Surely not from a God who had allowed such a thing to happen. Well, Stephen and Mary Beth's testimony is yes. Their hope is in the God that allowed such a thing to happen. And our passage today helps us to understand that hope. The real hope of Christianity. We're in the book of Acts. Jesus has been crucified and has risen. And in chapter 1 we read of his ascension to heaven after giving instructions and promises to his disciples. He has physically gone. And in chapter 2, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, had preached to a great crowd of Jews from all nations about the risen and ascended Jesus, who is the Christ. He exhorted them to repent and be baptized, accepting Jesus as their Saviour. And we read that about 3,000 souls, were added to the small number of believers. The church of Christ Jesus was growing. Christ Jesus, who had been crucified outside the city walls as a blasphemer. But Peter was preaching about the risen Lord Jesus, who he and many others had seen. Peter and the other apostles knew the truth. Jesus had risen. Men had put him to death, and God had raised his Christ and exalted him. And in chapter 2, at the end, in verse 43, we read, "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." And here in chapter 3, we have one of those wonders and signs. And here is our first reason for the hope that we have. Christianity is a religion with a foundation of works of God. The Bible contains real events in the lives of real people. These are real happenings from which we learn about the living God who has done real things in the world. Christianity is not philosophy. It's not just doctrine. It has at its core happenings. Things God has done himself. Things he has done through the lives of men and women in history. Right from the first book of the Old Testament, God has revealed himself and his purposes through deeds and words, and still touches people's lives today. He is the living God. And as Peter says here in verse 13, he is the God of those real ancestors of the Jews, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He spoke to those men. He did real things in their lives, and he made promises to them. And so we have a story here about one such historical, real happening, one such historical event. A lame man walks. It is a miracle, or as the Bible describes it, a wonder, a sign. You know, we're not even told his name. Read in verse 2, "A certain man, lame from his mother's womb." So this man without a name, let's look briefly at him. What do we know? Well, he was helpless, relying on others to bring him to the place where he would lay for the day, at the gate of the temple, and relying on the charity of people to give him the means to live, hoping for alms, money, from those who entered to worship God. It was quite a good strategic point to appeal to people's generosity, but he didn't appear to be overly hopeful even there, as it seems he didn't look properly at the people he was asking for money, or just maybe he was too ashamed. But at 3 o'clock that day, his life changed. One of the people he asked for money spoke back. Peter asked him to look at them. We read that in verse 4. And he did. We read that he gave John and Peter his full attention. Hope rising. But this man's hope surely faded, as Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have." But then, Peter continued, "But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up. The man didn't receive the temporary charity he was asking for, but healing. More than he could ever have hoped for. More than he could have dreamed of. Immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. Immediately. Lame to leaping. Bones made strong. Perfect physical soundness. Restored. And instead of being outside the temple, the man is now able to enter in. Walking and leaping and praising God. No longer an outcast, but part of the worshipping people of God. And this has been done in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And it immediately reminds us, doesn't it, of the miracles that Jesus himself had performed. It is a miracle, it is a sign performed by Peter, but in the manner of Jesus. And here we have our second reason for hope. We have the reality of the continuing work of Jesus. In chapter 1 of Acts, Luke has told us that in his first book, the Gospel, according to Luke, he had written about all that Jesus began both to do and teach. All that he began to do. And now here in chapter 3, we see evidence of his continuing work as his apostles are empowered to be his witnesses in Jerusalem. Jesus' work is continuing. And in one way, this is more important than any of the other miracles that Jesus did during his ministry, because this evidences his continuing power. Crucified, risen, ascended, and his work, his authority, his purpose continues. Jesus is Lord. This was the implication for those who saw the miracle. This is the implication for us today. It's a real event showing the real power of the real, living, ascended Lord Jesus. This is real hope for a weary world. But what are we to do with this miracle, this sign? In John's Gospel, we have the account of Jesus healing the man who was blind from birth. And as that story unfolds, it teaches us that Jesus, the light of the world, can give sight, spiritual sight, or can blind people spiritually to who he really is. The miracle is a sign that teaches a truth. And in fact, Jesus' miracles have been described as living parables. So can we understand this miracle in this passage in the same way? Well, let's consider what Peter says as he addresses the crowd. Peter doesn't say, "Come and be healed of all your ailments." That's not the point of the miracle. And that is helpful for us to realise as we struggle with physical weaknesses today. Today is not the day for all pain to be taken away. That will come, but not today. So what does he say? Well, he's very careful and very clear about what to do with this miracle. And Luke is very careful to record it for us. First of all, he says this is not our power or godliness. Peter is not another Jesus. Then he starts with God. In verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. He doesn't start with Jesus, but God. The God of the Jews who he is talking to. What he is going to say reflects the purpose of God, the God of their ancestors. This is not something separate from their God. To choose to trust Jesus is not to reject the God they know of. To choose to trust Jesus is to obey the God they know of. Their God has glorified his servant Jesus, the servant promised by the Old Testament prophets. Jesus has been exalted. And, says Peter, you delivered him up, you denied him, you asked for a murderer in his place when you could have let him go. And by your actions, you killed him. You killed the Prince of Life, which can be translated as the Author of Life. You killed him. But he now lives because God, your God, raised him from the dead. And this miracle is a sign to you that God has done this, that Jesus lives. So we read in verse 16, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. The faith which comes through him, that's through the living Jesus, has given him, this lame man, this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." This is who Jesus is, not was. And this is what you've done to him. And we imagine the realization of the crowd as the truth sinks in. If this is true, surely we are condemned. And we start to understand the miracle. Just as the lame man was helpless to do anything about his lameness, helpless even to get to the temple, so the crowd are helpless to do anything about their guilt. But actually it's a picture of more than that. Just as the lame man was lame from birth, so they have been guilty of sin from birth. Helpless before God from birth, just like each one of us. As King David tells us in Psalm 51, "I was brought forth in iniquity. I was born in my sin." Guilty, condemned. This is the starting point for all of us. But the miracle has happened. Peter reminds me in verse 16, the helpless man, the helpless lame man has been made strong. He has been restored to the design God had for him through the name of Jesus. So, the big question, can they be restored? Can their guilt, their sin before God be dealt with? And Peter says, yes. This is the point, the purpose. The people, the men of Israel, sinners from birth, need to be healed. They are helpless to do anything about it, but they can be healed through faith in Christ Jesus. In fact, this is why he suffered and died, so that forgiveness would be possible for anyone. Jesus paid the penalty for sin, not his own, but for those who will do what? What do we have to do to receive this healing? Well, Peter tells the crowd in verse 19. "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." And this is the third reason for the hope that we have. The call is something we can all do. It doesn't call for great intellect or great skill of any sort. It's something that a 5-year-old can do, or a 90-year-old. Repent. Understand your sinfulness and confess it and turn from it and trust in the Lord Jesus for forgiveness. And you can have sins forgiven, blotted out, and blessings from God through Jesus. This, Peter says in verse 18, is God's purpose that was spoken of by the prophets and which Christ fulfilled at Calvary. And you will be ready for that future time when everyone's physical bodies will be restored, when all physically lame people will leap, when all physically blind people will see, when the arthritis and the cancer and the AIDS will be gone. That will come The Apostle Paul tells us what the resurrection will be like in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, the body that is sown in this life is perishable. It is raised at the resurrection imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. As Peter tells us in verse 21 of our passage this morning, this will be the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. This is the living God, offering sinners life now and even more life at the resurrection. This is the living God, wanting no one to perish but to be saved, not even those who had killed his son. Let's read verses 25 and 26. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. So Peter says, the Jews have first call on this grace. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. To you first. But the good news for us here today in verse 25, that all families of the earth shall be blessed with this offer of reconciliation with God, as promised to Abraham. Not just the Jews, but people of all nations were to be blessed. God's forgiveness and restoration is available to all peoples. But there is a warning in verse 23 that some will perish, utterly destroyed from among the people. In other words, from among the people of God, cast out for eternity. Those who will not hear Jesus, those who will reject him. If the lame man had not turned to Peter, had not given him his attention, he could have been left helpless. It's unthinkable to think that he might have done that, isn't it? But that is the outcome for those who reject Jesus. The offer is more wonderful than we could hope for, but rejection of it has terrible consequences. So this is the message Peter gives after the miracle. This is the message of the miracle. This is the real message for us all today. So let's just think about the real message for us here today as we finish. The living God who was active in the world then is active today. He is still changing lives through things he does today, and through his opening of our spiritual eyes as we read about what he has done and said in the past, in the Bible, his word. Peter's message then wasn't come and be physically healed. It was repent and be converted. That's just as true today. Our greatest need is not a physical well-being. And this can be hard to live by. If we see loved ones suffering, even dying, we pray for them to be healed, don't we? And God can still do that, and sometimes does. But this may not be the time for healing. There is a time and purpose for all things in this life. That is part of God's revelation to us in his word. To everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Under heaven, there is a time to be born and a time to die. Under heaven, in this world. Our greatest need, our first priority, is for spiritual well-being. To be reconciled with the God who made us and holds our days in his hands. And who will one day restore all things, not under heaven, but in heaven. Everyone's greatest need is to be reconciled with the living God and prepared for life eternal with him. Everyone. God tells us that we will all be raised to life at the last day and face God's judgment. In Hebrews chapter 9 we read, "It is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." We all start off spiritually lame, sinners from birth. Without reconciliation with God through Jesus, you will be in a desperate situation on that day. And none of us knows when that day will come, or when our days in this life will come to an end. 3 months before her death, little Maria Chapman had made a very simple declaration of faith in Jesus with her mum, and asked Jesus one day to take her to his big house. She trusted Jesus Christ of Nazareth. No one knew that just 3 months later, this little girl would be in the presence of God, but she was ready. How about you? Are you ready? Really ready? You can be made ready today, just like the lame man who was healed immediately. You can be made ready today through repentance and faith in the real, the raised, the ascended Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You can be made holy as you are counted righteous by God. Your sins, past, present and future, paid for. God will look on you and it will be as if he were looking at Jesus as you are dressed in his righteousness. Imagine that. Reconciled to God and prepared for the ultimate restoration in heaven. This is the real message of Christianity today for you and me, for our families and our friends, for anyone and everyone. If you already know this reconciliation, then you are Jesus' witnesses to all peoples on earth. Who do you know who needs to know about Jesus? Chapter 4 of Acts goes on to say that although Peter was arrested for his message, the sign had been seen and the message had been heard and understood. The people he was talking to understood their helplessness. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 4, we read that they believed. And the number of believers increased to 5,000 men. And that's just the men. So on that day, through this message, God touched the lives of not just the layman, but thousands. And these chapters in Acts record the beginning of Christianity, the beginning of the Church of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, of which we are a part. We are here today because of the events of Acts chapter 3, which are just as real as we are today. The healing of the lame man happened through faith in the risen Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And because it happened, we know that true restoration can be found through faith in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This is the message of hope of this miracle. Reconciliation with God now, forgiven through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus. Life with God as a Father now, and prepared for life eternal, where full restoration, including our physical being, will be our experience. When the pains of illness, when the grief of death will be ended. Stephen Curtis Chapman and his wife do not understand why God should allow such a tragedy within their family. But Maria was reconciled to God through faith in Jesus. Her big brother trusts Jesus too. This is where Stephen and Mary Beth find their hope. And it's a confident hope that both their damaged children will enter into that new restored world together, when all things will be made new and God will live with his people and they will enjoy him together. Let me read to you something that Stephen said to all those there at the hospital when they were told that Maria had died. As crazy as this seems right now, the only thing I can say to honour the life of my little girl and our terrible loss at this moment is to ask you, please don't miss this. We will all stand here one day and face eternity. If you don't know the one who can give you eternal life, his name is Jesus. You need to meet him, and you need to meet my little girl in heaven. She's amazing. So we have two stories about real people. Peter standing next to a healed man. Stephen Curtis Chapman in the hospital where his daughter had died. But it's the same message. We can be restored now. We can be reconciled to the living God and be made ready for heaven, where the restoration of all things will take place through faith in Jesus. It is a sure and certain hope. It is restoration to be grasped while we can. Amen.